us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm with my sweet wife, Vicky.
Hello, we're back.
And we're walking through, by God's grace, with His Word, pointing you to His Spirit. What would it look like to not just keep a marriage alive? Some people would be happy with that.
Yeah.
Could we just keep it alive? I get it. We both felt that, didn't we, honey?
Yeah.
Like, this is never going to thrive.
Right.
It would be a win if we could keep this thing alive.
Right.
Because we're so different. And you guys,
we are
so different still, 39 years later. But guess what wasn't necessary? The unbiblical, destructive ways we were relating to each other
right.
over those differences.
Mm-hmm.
We have something now we never thought possible. But what we're taught about in these recent shows is words got us to where we were, and
yes.
words have taken us to where we are. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
That if I reverted back to the way I used to use words, in a hurry, we would be where we were.
Yes.
Because we're thinking through how words can burn it down.
Burn it down.
Or words can plant seeds of life.
Right.
So with that word seed, in our last show, we started with giving you some ideas of, all right, what is it I shouldn't be planting?
Right.
Some of you are out there just sowing seeds
mm-hmm.
and then wondering why you got growing what you got growing in your
right.
marriage.
Yep.
Or wondering why love feels so choked out. So let me give you another one that you got to watch out for. Character assassination. Oh, using language that moves it from the problem we're talking about to you.
Uh-huh.
I'm attacking you. You always ruin everything. You never think about anyone but yourself. You're just like your
uh-huh.
mother. Oh,
wow.
That's
yeah.
not a cigarette butt. That's a grenade.
Yeah.
Pull the pin.
Forget
toss
the cigarette
it.
Butt illustration. Yeah.
If you think that's going to open up a fruitful conversation
uh-huh.
with your spouse,
yeah.
Think again.
And I think because those words like these are very exasperating to your spouse because it just basically just says, I can't see any change in you. And that's
yeah.
very frustrating, especially when you've been trying to make a change.
Yeah.
So these just blanket statements, which really, I'm sure a degree of that might be true, but that's not just totally who your spouse
yeah.
is, their mother.
Yeah.
But words like always and never escalate conflict and really make repair very difficult because you just realize this person isn't even trying to
right.
understand me. They're just tossing out this grenade, this
mm-hmm.
blanket statement that is obviously not true on every level. So you just feel even more understood.
Yeah.
And once again, you're going to pull back instead
yeah.
of going close, moving towards someone. That makes you want to just run and think they're so unsafe.
These are grenade words.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
People run. If you haven't picked up on this, people run from grenades.
Yes.
And if they can't run, it's because they're wounded from the shrapnel.
Right.
But they are crawling and dragging themselves
yes.
away from you.
Yes.
So again, we keep trying to bring you this thought. Did what I just say cause my spouse to want to move towards me
uh-huh.
or away? When people have been wounded
yeah.
and bits of shrapnel just flew into them
uh-huh.
through what you said, they don't want to move towards you.
No.
They move away. So character assassination. Oh, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't be guilty of you always ruined. You never,
uh-huh.
you're just like, Bring them what you want to say, but remove
right.
that kind of trapping.
Yeah, another one I think is weaponizing vulnerability.
Yeah, since
in other
we're
words,
talking about grenades.
Right.
Say that again. What is it?
Weaponizing vulnerability. There's things that only you know about your spouse
right.
that they've told you in times when they were being open and honest, and you use that against your spouse.
Yeah.
That's very, very
painful.
Which
I hope you realize, in marriage, as you heard, co-heirs together of the grace of life,
uh-huh.
God did mean for marriage to be a place where you could pull down your guard,
right.
where you would have someone who does know some of your weaknesses
yes.
more than anybody else.
It's just so freeing.
Oh, if you weaponize any of that,
uh-huh.
wow.
Yeah.
It's going to shut down intimacy, shut down closeness.
Right. I think another way we weaponize vulnerability is we throw past failures into current arguments.
Oh.
Yeah. Go yes. back, go historical
go
and
historical.
Start bringing up things about you did this, you did this, you did. I mean, because.
And I told you and you
right.
never should have,
right.
but you did.
And I like to say to women I'm talking to, that's all water under the bridge.
Yep.
There's nothing they can do about that. If they've made it right, either they haven't made it right, you cannot. That's just not helping the situation.
And I think as I work with couples, let me help you for a minute. The ones that insist on doing this, I find when they push back to me, they say, but I'm hoping that will help him or her make a better decision now.
Right.
It doesn't. They stop listening to you, and what they hear is, I will forevermore be in the doghouse.
Yeah.
I will forevermore be beat up by you over that.
Right.
It doesn't make them want to do better with you. It wants them not to. It makes them want to not be with you.
Yeah, I think it exasperates them, too.
I wish I could start over
yes.
with someone else because
right.
this is exhausting.
Yes, and you will never let this go.
Just the way I would say it to you, slam the door on the past.
Yeah.
And we're
let them out and then slam the door.
In future episodes, we intend to talk about forgiveness. We're
right.
not saying really hurtful, awful things that have been done,
uh-huh.
sinned against you, and they haven't addressed. Let's pretend it never happened. We're talking about things, decisions that were made. And like Vicky said, it's water under the bridge.
Right.
It's done.
There's no changing that.
Don't bring the past into the present
uh-huh.
thinking it will motivate your spouse to do better. It causes them to not want to be with you.
Yeah.
What other kind of weaponizing do you see, Vicky?
I think another one that I've seen is using insecurities of your spouse that you know about because you live with them, using that as ammunition, because this just destroys emotional safety. Once safety is broken, intimacy collapses. And there's quite a few. There's four that, to me, are pretty common.
Oh, so true. Yeah, but notice how often we've used the word safe, too.
Yeah.
I've used it especially.
I mean, we just can't say that enough.
Especially towards you guys with your wife, but it goes the other way, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Vicky, I feel like I can be safe with her. She is not ever going to use my
mm-hmm.
weaknesses or mock me.
Yeah, and I think of that verse in Proverbs that just says, you know, which I just have always strived to live up to, is the heart of her husband doth safely trust
yes.
in her. I think that's all King James, doth
yes.
safely. But I mean, I want to be a... You should want to be a safe place for
yep.
your spouse, because
yep.
there are so few safe places. If they can't come to you,
that's right.
then where are they supposed to
that's
go?
That's right.
So,
and so some of the top insecurities or weaknesses that I see being exploited
mm-hmm.
and weaponized, one of the biggest is physical appearance.
Mm.
And by that, I don't just mean, you know, that you're gloriously handsome and now you're not so much.
Right.
Throw in there just... All that it entails of being
uh-huh.
a human being who ages.
Right.
Like Vicky and I, one of the phrases we use with each other, I'll just look at her and say, I'm diminished. I am just diminished.
Yeah.
I'm turning 63 and whew, I'm not all that I was physically on multiple levels. It's not just that
mentally,
when I look, not just
every
when
way.
I look in the mirror and I think, oh,
yeah.
he looks tired. Oh, he, I'm just on multiple levels diminished and weaker, and so is she.
Uh-huh.
And so how are you going to treat each other with those diminishments?
Right.
And
you certainly don't want to use them as ammunition
yeah.
in a fight.
No.
Their insecurities.
No.
What are some that you can think of that are really
well,
common?
You know, for sure we could start with just appearance.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter how hard you try. And Vicky and I are both trying.
Right.
I appreciate it. She goes to the gym. I go to the gym. We watch what we eat. It doesn't matter. I don't look like I did when she met me. I'll see
uh-huh.
pictures and think, oh, he looks so fresh and youthful.
I'm like, you still look
and
great.
Athletic, and I look so older and tired and wrinkly. And so at a very minimum, the way you look, your spouse would still love to hear you say,
uh-huh.
I say it to Vicky, don't I?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, you're just beautiful right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, something I could say, and wow, if you're a guy, listen to this. Never, after birthing five children and, you know, you're pregnant, you're very large, you feel so large. Brad has never, ever said anything about my weight, your
yep.
bottom's getting big. I mean,
yep.
talk about shut the relationship down.
Yep.
That
I've
will do it.
I've done a lot of things wrong, guys.
He's never done that wrong.
I've
Thank
not
you.
Done that. Even when do not say disparaging things towards each other about
mm-hmm.
your appearance. Because a lot of it doesn't matter how hard you work. Now, maybe your spouse isn't working hard. That's a different issue. But still, that's not a starting point to point out how bad you think they look now. Mm-hmm. Trust me, is not going to motivate them to work on that.
No.
And so here's what I think is interesting. It's very different what discourages each one of us. I've been skinny my whole life. I mean, skinny. In ninth grade, I weighed 105. I wrestled 105.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how skinny and small I was. So I've been battling not wanting. I hope you realize guys want to look bigger, athletic,
didn't you
muscular.
Used to wear like sweatpants under your jeans to make your legs look bigger?
Yeah.
Hey. Another thing you've learned on Thrive. You want your legs to look bigger.
So I had to let Vicky know.
Sweatpants?
She says she's only done
what?
It once. I felt like she
once.
Did it more than once. But once must have been so upsetting to me. We were walking around the neighborhood when she said, oh, honey, are you losing weight? You look gaunt. I was crushed.
He was crushed.
I was crushed. A gaunt is not what I'm shooting for. And I looked at her and I said, honey, it would be great if you never said that again. I'm never trying to lose weight. I just can't help it. I have to work so hard to maintain weight. I said, that would be like me looking at you and say, has your butt gotten bigger?
Mm.
So, we're talking about words and we're talking about bad seeds that you don't want to plant. And some of that is weaponizing vulnerabilities and weaknesses. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more because we would love to help you avoid what is burning down good little seeds in your marriage with words.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. They're talking about words that would burn a marriage down, and there are words that you can speak, and you can speak them very quietly, but they do more impact than you realize. Brad said something that I think I want to put a spotlight on for just a moment. He said there are so few safe places that if a person can't come to you, especially a spouse, then where are they supposed to go? Yeah, it's true of more than marriage, but I think that is a foundational pillar of a marriage. I think that's what the whole world searches for right now, voices just like that. And the voices that won't flatter you or won't compromise. Well, those voices are getting hard to find. And Brad and Vicky are two of those voices that you find here every day at Fortis Institute, along with Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Libby Glossin, Todd Friel, Dr. Jason Lyle, and Dr. Greg Gifford. Those are the fellows that make up Fortis Institute, and they are releasing and creating content every single day. And it's content that's being released every day that you can access and consume every day for free. That's right, for free. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus to your smartphone or your smart TV, listen, folks, you're sorely missing out. Fortis Plus, I think, should be a daily staple in your life because every single thing that you can pick up and look at on your smartphone, most of it, I would say the percentage would be in the 90s of the things on your phone. Those things are pulling you away from your relationship with God, and Fortis Plus is pushing you towards it. If you don't have Fortis Plus on your smartphone or your smart TV, I want to urge you to do it. Again, it's free. It's not going to cost you anything at all. It could be one of the wisest decisions you ever make. And here, let me tell you real quick why it's free. It's because of our gospel partners. Our gospel partners are men and women from all over the world and from all walks of life who have been listening to Fortis Institute for years, and they've been impacted by what they've heard here. And they wanted to make sure that more people in more places all over the world would also have access to the content that we're creating. And look, maybe that's you. Maybe you sit in that category now, and if that is so, we would love to link arms with you. A couple of caveats, however, you got to be giving to your local church. That's your number one giving priority as a Christian, so you got to be giving to your local church. And number two, this can't be a burden for you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
You're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about words, and within that, we're talking about bad seed.
Bad seeds.
Because you can be doing some things right, and if you drop a few bad seeds with your words in there.
Like, wow, your bottom's getting bigger.
Yeah, or wow, you look gaunt. Are you losing weight? So, it goes both ways. Whatever it is that would be discouraging to your
spouse.
Right.
I mean, some guys are getting bigger, like fat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's not his area.
And, that's really not my thing. If I don't eat enough food and I don't go to the gym and lift, I just shrivel up. Mm-hmm. I know some of you hate me, but guess what? It's not fun looking shriveled. You may think it's not fun looking bigger. It ain't fun looking shriveled. Shriveled is not what I'm shooting for.
It's not the look.
I mean, I'll tell you, it's like a funny story since we're talking about Vicky one time saying that to me. I don't know who you are out there, but if you're listening, I want you to know it was very discouraging to me. I was teaching in Montana in a big auditorium. I'm on the stage and at a break. I've got a break like 15 minutes before I'm going to teach again. A guy comes running down out of the upper decks, jumps up onto the stage and says, "Hey, did you quit?" Because I've taught there like 6 or 7 summers. "Hey, did you quit going to the gym?" And I said, "No." He said, "Oh, you just look smaller." Uh-huh. And then he spins and he runs away. I'm like, you could have gone your whole life without saying that. You
that was not, a demon of Satan coming up to discourage
you. You did not need to come down
you.
Out of the stands to tell me that. That's so encouraging as I get ready.
But once
to
again, like this is, we laugh about this, but like here's Brad. Words and life or death. We go back to that verse in Proverbs. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I'm sure that guy probably had no idea how that affected
sure
you. But I think because of once again because of your. This is what you struggle with your whole life
right.
as a small child.
So we're
even.
Just being honest.
Right.
I didn't curl up on the stage and
right.
refuse to teach
but
my next
session. But he
still
remembers it, which
but
is
notice,
interesting to me.
I remember this.
Right.
It's just not true that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Right.
Words. Impact. So we're talking about as you relate to your spouse with being diminished, aging, mm-hmm. weaknesses, changes. Things are just going to change. How you look, what you
right.
can do, how you walk, how you get up.
And you don't want to use that against them.
No. And so even I think it might have been better if I'd actually said something, but I want you to hear, we treat each other lovingly regarding of changes uh-huh. physically. And I think most of you know, you've heard us say, Vicky has transverse myelitis. It came upon her in 2017, July. But we realize now as we look back,
yeah,
there were things leading up to that were tip-offs.
We weren't picking up on.
That we weren't picking up on. And one of them was, we always loved to walk around the block. It was about a mile at our other house. And I had noticed, you know, we'll hold hands and we'll walk. But I had noticed just regularly, she trips.
Uh-huh.
Or she would stub her toe or she would catch the edge of, you know, where the sidewalk has
right.
one piece connected
to another
piece.
It was like I wasn't picking up my right foot. Yeah.
And I didn't say a word, but I certainly knew it. And I thought, wow, this is happening more.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't say, what's wrong with you?
Uh-huh.
You keep tripping. You're not lifting your feet enough. What?
Right.
Come on, lift your feet. I said nothing. And then later, when she really, really, it came upon her and she couldn't move, we both realized,
yeah.
oh, this had been coming on.
Uh-huh.
But we try to live with each other kindly. I'm sure she notices things about me that she thinks, that's not how I used to do. Well, for one, I used to jump up and down off the stage while I was preaching.
Yeah.
I mean, launch and then launch back up. Those days are over. I do not
He's
launch.
Not launching.
Now, I am right out on the edge. People are like, oh, you make
me
so nervous. Your feet are hanging right on the edge. I do.
He comes over. He's literally, I've seen on the front row, his shoes hang off 4 inches.
I mean,
and I'm like, one day he's going to, like,
know. When I speak,
over.
I just have this desire to be as close as possible to the people. So
he
I'm
tries.
Just right out there. But guess what? Jumping is over. When I land, even if I try to bend my knees, the impact on my lower back is just not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about not weaponizing vulnerabilities and weaknesses.
Right.
If you stay married for decades, and we hope you do,
yes.
your spouse will not keep looking like they used to look. They will not always be able to do everything just the way they
uh-huh.
did it. Can you be kind with that?
Yeah, don't use that
can
against
them. Can you love
them
through that? And
because
you...
they know, we all know
sure.
how we've changed. I mean, like, you know, I'm older now, so I think of the Paul Simon song, "Why am I so soft in the middle now? Why am I so?" It's like your body's a tree trunk. Like, I don't want to be a tree trunk, but you know, here I am.
That is a fun song.
It
There's
is.
Something about my bodyguard, and you can call me Al. But yeah, he's got that phrase, "Why am I so soft
yeah,
in the middle now?
I can
Why
to
am
Paul.
I so soft in the middle now?" Ooh, because I do. My dad did sit ups on an incline bench
uh-huh.
all the way till his death at 86. And so I started doing it after he died. I've been doing it 2 years now.
He has it in our bedroom,
85
folks.
Sit-ups in the morning. And guess what? Why am I still soft?
And yeah.
I mean, I say to people, inside it's hard. But there's still this soft stuff on the outside. Welcome to being 63.
Right.
I'm just not going to look like those guys that are in their 20s in the gym standing in front of the mirror. I never stand in front of the mirror with my shirt off. It's just not fun.
Uh-huh.
But there they are.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you another insecurity. Career or financial status. you know, so many of you are both working now. Welcome to the world we live in because of economics and how expensive life is. So be careful how you relate to, or worse yet, if you've got a stay-at-home wife,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you want to be careful how you relate to each other or
right.
weaponize that you either make more money than they do or have more money than they do or
mm-hmm.
are part of an income stream that's greater than theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that, honey?
Well, I just think that's something that you always did, which I appreciate. I mean, you would say, wow, you save us so much money. You do this, this, this. So even though you were making, obviously, the money, you never held that over my head or made me feel like a second-class citizen. You're not productive. You're not
good.
Bringing in money for our family, which I obviously wasn't. But, you know, I was trying to shop frugally and find
mm-hmm.
clothes at garage sales and secondhand stores. So I just always appreciated that he valued my role as
yeah.
a stay-at-home mom.
And my words matter.
Right.
How I talk about that. And so if you're listening, I want you to know, guys, I didn't just, oh, wow, what a surprise. I didn't even mean to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know I did that right. If you're listening, I was conscious of that. I've been conscious our entire marriage
right.
to never say, well, it's my money.
Right.
I'm the one. It's royalties from my book. It's
right.
it's money from my conference.
Right.
No, we are one.
Mm-hmm.
And she has worked so hard with me in life. When you talk that way, I've never said, well, because you don't work.
Right.
Well, because you don't
right.
work. Well, because
that's really
that
ooh,
is hurtful. And again, remember a show or two ago we talked about never top down.
Mm-hmm.
Do not talk to your spouse in a way that makes it sound like I'm above you.
Yeah.
I'm above you.
Because I even think of, like, you know, there's a situation I'm aware of, and his wife went to college and the husband didn't. He chose a trade.
Hmm.
But in their family, that's not very well accepted. But you don't want to use that against your husband, because I'm sure he could be, he's just as smart. Doesn't mean he's not
yeah.
a godly man. But that's not something you want to keep throwing in his face.
Yeah.
Some people didn't have the opportunity to go. Some people chose not to go. These are the types of things that you don't want to in any way make your spouse feel second-class citizen because
yeah.
of they aren't, their career, their financial status isn't exactly what
yours is. So it would be great
is.
To not talk in terms of my money
mm-hmm.
and your money.
Yeah.
My money
right.
and your money. It's our money.
Right.
And we just live in a new day. It's a new world where very often someone can work from home and be IT, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, or graphic design. And
right.
just because of the realm of their job, they make more.
Mm-hmm.
But your spouse would love to not feel like constantly I live in the shadow of words that remind
right.
me I don't bring in as much as
yeah.
you do. And somehow that should affect how we relate to each
mm-hmm.
other.
That's a perfect illustration.
I don't think so.
Right.
It should not affect how you relate to each other. So therefore, be careful the words you use, how you
mm-hmm.
talk about it. Another insecurity is sexual. You know, I got to be honest. We have to talk about finances. We need to talk about parenting. We need to talk about future goals and
mm-hmm.
plans. But if you want to have a healthy marriage, you're going to have to talk about sexuality.
Right.
And especially as you age, things change.
Mm-hmm.
Things are different. And you want to be oh so gentle and
especially
careful.
Especially in this area.
Yeah.
Wow. It's already a hard area to discuss. So make sure you're being
yeah.
gentle and open and loving.
Because just like in other areas, it changes. What you can do might not be what you can do as quickly or easily now. For now, enough said. We don't want to dig entirely into sexuality and intimacy. But just be aware, the words are being used regarding the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Are you burning it down or are you planting seeds of life?
Right.
And we've touched on that love is patient. Are you being patient and gentle with your spouse in this area? They may have limitations. Sometimes someone has a health issue. Sometimes someone's on a medication now.
Yeah.
That makes it difficult to be as sexually alive. And,
right.
But again, according to the scriptures, the goal is to please your spouse.
Right.
To please your spouse.
And you're going to have to talk about
but
that.
But you don't want them to feel like they're getting a scorecard.
Right.
Performance.
Mm-hmm. That's
did they
a great
perform
point.
Well enough? Are they up to, you know, think about the Olympics, you know, it's like, all right, was that bronze, silver, gold, or did you not medal at all?
Yeah.
That was like, you are not on the platform at all.
Yeah.
Like, that's awful if your spouse feels like each time they enter into that with you, there's going to be a scorecard
yeah.
and there's going to be some medals given out. Ooh, that's tons of pressure. So just like we want to let up on each other with just normal physical aging, we want to be gentle and loving and careful in this area. We're talking about words. We're talking about what might move your marriage from barely alive, gasping for the oxygen of love, to beginning to thrive. And some of it has to do with seeds you're planting. Mm-hmm. Are you guilty of planting seeds of contempt, seeds of character assassination, or seeds of weaponizing vulnerability? Oh, the answer is bring it back to love. Bring it back to love. What would love do, and what would love sound like as you said it?
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.